Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and we are here for our post-SHINE conference call for the VIP members, and we call it strategic implementation. I go to a lot of webinars. I go to a lot of live events, I go to a lot of them. And when we get back, it's like there's this piles of paper and notes, and you have all these ideas about what you're going to do, but it's rare that we actually go back and do it. And one of the things that I find to be really helpful is to have a follow-up, an actual follow-up call. Okay, so when I go to these conferences, you get back and there's all kinds of stuff that you need to do or you want to do, and you have all these notes and all this great stuff, but you don't know what to do. You don't really follow up because you don't have time or things get in the way, life happens. So I decided to do this call as a bonus for those of you who did the VIP at the event, and I call it strategic implementation. So the purpose of tonight's call is to summarize some of the things we learned at the event, but pull it together into an actionable plan that you can take away. And really what I want you to walk away with is an approach that you can take when you have a new client or patient come to you and you want to get to the heart of what's going on and you want to truly get and be able to help them. So I'm taking, consolidating down, but then, just summarizing an action step, and you can go back to your full set of notes for everything else. And I also created you a nice little summary cheat sheet that I'll tell you about towards the end that I created it the other day, and I thought it was exciting to share. So let's just get moving. Before I begin, I always like to make sure that you're aware that the presentation isn't intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's not medical advice. And I advise you that when you're working with your clients, that you explain this to them, that you have even something written would be great, or something that was not, it's not written, but something that you can use with them to help them to see that you're giving them advice, but it's not really advice. You're giving them education about how their health is going and what kind of imbalances you see and how you might restore, they might restore those imbalances. But it should never substitute for a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Never, get them off their medications or have them stop any care. And this is really one of those CYA kind of approaches, and we just need to do it in our society the way it is today. So throughout the conference, we kept sharing that we're on a mission, right? We're on a mission to create and be part of the creation of a new paradigm in healthcare. And we're moving in that direction. We're moving slowly, but we're moving in that direction. We're way closer to being in that paradigm than we were back in the mid-1980s, when I first started getting involved in this movement. But it's my mission. You share that mission. Together, it's our mission, and it becomes much bigger than the sum of us as individuals. We all know that we want to move away from the Band-Aid approach to into a more root cause kind of an approach. We're tired of the approaches like throw a dart in the dark, hope for the best, hope we choose the right treatment, and then put a Band-Aid on it. That's the typical Western medical approach. And as holistic practitioners, functional integrated practitioners, we want to do more. We want to be able to be more precise about identifying where the imbalances lie, and instead of applying Band-Aids, go to the root. Now, that said, there are times when we are very happy for Band-Aids. When someone's in extreme pain or discomfort or dysfunction, they need Band-Aids sometimes. And it's fine to be applying Band-Aids when you're also working at getting to the root cause at the same time. And as functional, holistic practitioners, integrative practitioners, we want to apply the most sound and safe Band-Aids of all. So if someone comes in with severe headaches and you have an herb like feverfew perhaps, or pedicites, or even a nutrient like magnesium that gives them help, or a Chinese herbal formulation that gives them help, that's great. And you need to be giving it to them, but you also need to be looking at what's the long term, what's the actual cause. I remember working with somebody very early days of my practice, within the first year or two, and she had really, really bad headaches. And she'd been tested for all sorts of things, and she had MRIs, and the headaches just wouldn't go away. And she tried all kinds of Band-Aids, all kinds of medications, and nothing worked. And we tried some of the things. I did a lot of adjustments in I didn't do acupuncture at the time, but she'd tried acupuncture. None of that was working. And so, you know, I was looking at her diet, and I said, you know, a detox might be the thing for you. Really, this might be a toxic headache. That's the only thing I can think of. We've ruled out all the physical stuff. We've ruled out the neurologic stuff. So she went on a detox. She did a four-day ultra-clear detox where she just drank this powdered medical food mix. Those kinds of products are still around. And voila, by the end of the week, her headaches were gone. She was toxic. That was the cause of her headaches. Now, at the time, I could give her herbs to help her with the pain. I could give her adjustments, which might take the edge off. Nothing took it away for long term. So I dug and I looked for the solution while we were offering her some Band-Aid solutions for her intractable pain. So I put together a strategic implementation plan, because after all, that's the name of this presentation, right? Strategic implementation. And I'm going to flush this out as we go through the presentation tonight. And at the end, I'm going to give you an even more detailed strategic implementation plan. But I wanted to give you an overview of it, because I like to start with where are we going, and then go there, and then come out with a summary that's a little bit more useful and usable, and that's something you can print out and keep with you, and copy and make, you know, check off as you're going through and working with each person. We learned a lot at Shine. There were a lot of assessments, a lot of physical assessments, paper and pen assessments, and lab assessments that we talked about. And first of all, you don't want to do all of those assessments on everybody that walks in the door. I know that there are a lot of very enthusiastic functional medicine practitioners who do that. It's like everybody that walks in the door gets a bunch of assessments done, right? The same ones, you know, food allergies and CBC and a stool analysis and a bunch of other tests. And, you know, they can amount to a couple of $1,000s. I believe that that's too much information right up front. I believe that we have to use a judicious use of people's money and time on taking the test, and also do them in a way that's going to make the most sense in terms of implementing changes. So we start with the thorough history. Use the power of why. We go in and do a 7 pillars assessment. We use our nutrition scorecards. We create an action plan to balance the foundations, right? We look to see what's out of balance. We start with helping them to balance some of the foundational pieces. That set of action plans could take them months and months and months to put into place, right? Because it's going to include all the dietary things, exercise things, stress management, et cetera. You could easily spend 6 months with some people who've had bad habits for a long time to get them to actually put the plan into place. You can do whatever physical evaluations you can do. And I showed you at the event a form, and I gave you in the handout packet a form that you can use to actually have them do a physical evaluation on themselves. Or if you have them in your office or on Skype, you can actually look at things. You're going to review any previous labs that they have over the last year. Don't allow them to bring in 7 years or 17 years of lab assessments. I did that in my early days. I remember somebody saying, oh, I have some other labs from other practitioners. Do you want me to send them to you? And naively, I said, yes. I didn't qualify it. And I got, I think it was 72 pages of facts sent to me. This was not what I was expecting. And then, of course, I had all those, so she kind of expected that I was going to go through them all. And when they pay you for an initial consultation, whether it be $75 or $500, they're not paying you enough for the time it takes to go through 72 pages of lab. So you want to be able to make sure that you're setting your fees in such a way and setting your expectations in such a way that you're not putting yourself on the spot to evaluate 10 hours worth of labs for $75. So just want to throw that in there, because I've made those mistakes, been there, done that. So we review the previous labs, and those will help you based on that plus the functional assessments to know what other functional lab tests might be needed if they're needed. You may have enough to go on right from the start to get some of the foundational pieces in place. We're also going to talk, as we go further on in the more detailed version of this at the end, goes through an order of what you want to evaluate and work on. But you want to be able to look at if it's appropriate to do any of the in-office or at-home testing pieces that I shared with you, because those are easy, inexpensive, and give people instant feedback. But then you want to take an action plan together to balance out our pyramid. Remember our pyramid, which is digestion, blood sugar, adrenals, thyroid, sex hormones, and organs, in that order. So if they have a digestive issue, but their chief complaint is the thyroid or the sex hormone issue, and you don't address the digestion, you're never going to get them well. So you might be able to get some Band-Aids, but you're never going to get them well. So we always have to start in the lowest part of the pyramid that we've assessed to be out of balance. And we do that with the thorough history. We can do that with some of the assessments that I've given you in the packet, which are to assess the various organs and glands. So those are the things that we get started with. So I'm going to go through this in a lot more detail. After you create that action plan, then you can do a 23andMe testing to help you to fine-tune that plan. That's not where you start. We have to get the basics, foundations, the lifestyle, the diet, things in place. Yes, the 23andMe testing, the genetic testing can give you so much information, and I'll give you a hint that the special thing I created for you is based on that. So that shouldn't have been there. Darn it. That should be at the end. So I'm going to see if it lets me move this. I think it does. No? Okay. Well, I'll come back to it. Got out of order. So we started with the power of why. It's super, super important. The power of why that helps you to keep going when it gets rough and also helps them to keep going. I always start with my power of why. Why? Why is this happening? And what's their power for why? You know, just like we shared with you the story of Joanna, the 87-year-old professional gymnast, or Stanislaw, the 106-year-old athlete that's still racing. I have dozens more of these slides that I share with people when I do my Spring into Vitality event. So what's your big why? You need to get in touch with your big why, because that's what's going to drive you to keep going with this and keep learning and growing in this. You've got to help them identify what's their big why, because otherwise going gluten-free and getting off of refined sugar and letting go of their foods and their habits that are not serving them is not going to work. They're not going to do it because they don't have a strong enough why. So you may think that that's wasting time at the beginning, but it's not. It's not wasting time at all. It's what helps them to see things through. They may get a little impatient with it, and you can dance with that, but sometimes it's worth just addressing it straight on. Why are you resisting this? And explaining to them the value of it. At Shine, I have shared with you my big why, you know, to be there for these guys, my family, my beautiful little family here, and to in memory and honor of these three in my family, my mom and my dad and my sister Kathy, who are no longer with us, and I believe could have still been with us had they not, had they been exposed to the kind of care that we can provide them. Today would have been my mom's 82nd birthday. And that's not very old, right? She's been gone 25 years. Tells you how long and how premature her life ended. That's for me my big why. I don't want people to suffer like that. Wednesday would have been my sister's 53rd birthday. She died 8 years ago, so she was only 45 when she went. And it was sad. It was heartbreaking for all of us to lose these people that we loved. And I believe it could have all been prevented had there been the interventions that you guys and I know how to do and are learning to get better and better at. That's why the big why is so important, is to help them to get motivated to actually do. I talked to them. I told them. I explained to them what their habits were doing to them. But would they listen to me? No. So that's why the big why. I didn't know about the big why. I didn't work on the big why. And I might have been able to help them a little bit more had I known then what I know now. So I'm trying to help you shortcut what I knew then, which was, you know, 25 years ago when she died. And, you know, the years before that, if I knew then what I know now, it would have been a lot different, I believe. So We start with the four pillars of a functional assessment, and I believe that it starts with those detective history taking and interviewing skills, the big why. We went through a lot of detail about this at Shine, so you can review your notes from day one, where I went into all the details on that. Those of you who are in our NEPT program, you have a whole module on that with all kinds of done-for-you forms and all kinds of videos to explain how to do that. We then move to a functional physical evaluation. Now, some of you have the license to touch people, whether you're an MD or a naturopath, an acupuncturist, a massage therapist. You have a license that allows you to touch people, which would allow you to do some of those physical findings. Those of you who don't, you can have them. You can show them pictures, and I gave you some of the interpretations that you can make based on the physical findings, and that's all in your handout package. The functional lab tests, and we went over a lot of these at the event, blood in detail, saliva, urine, hair, and stool. Not everybody needs all those tests, and it's really doing that good detective work at the beginning that's going to help you determine what they need. And finally, we listed in-home and in-office and at-home testing because it's so inexpensive and so easy, and you can get feedback about their progress within, you know, a few minutes and for, you know, a few dollars at the most, and usually pennies. So the components of a thorough history were, you know, getting to know who they are, what are their health goals, what are their complaints, what are their current health exposures, what happened to them in the past, what's happening with their nutrients, looking at journals and tracking forms, and what I call the ready and willing assessment. And the ready and willing assessment is one that a lot of people overlook, and they beat their heads against the wall trying to get people to do stuff that they're not ready for. And it brings the conversation up. You can have a form that they fill out, or you can ask them the questions. How willing are you to make dietary changes? How willing are you to make lifestyle changes? How willing are you to introduce some new habits that are going to reduce your stress? All of this is super important, and I think it's a really good thing to start with because you can help to let them know how much help you can give them, how willing and ready they are. It doesn't mean you're going to throw them out on the street and say no. It just means that you know where you're starting from, and you can be really upfront with them. Like, if you're not willing to make these particular kinds of changes, it's unlikely that I'm going to be really able to help you. But if you're willing to try, it doesn't mean that you're going to do it overnight. It doesn't mean you have to jump right in. But if you're willing to try, I'm willing to work with you. Really important conversation to have with folks. I gave you my seven pillars assessment, and this is gold. This stuff took me hours and hours over many years to create and fine-tune and finalize, and it allows you to see where are their obstacles and move to replenishing and helping them to restore habits that are going to get their pillars, the underlying pillars that hold up the whole body in place. And we gave you on the last day, and I'll give you a summary of that, how to actually put those things back in balance when you find them out of balance. I encouraged you to use a health tracker, whether you use the ones that I gave you, print them out, use them as a guideline for your own, or use them as is as your own. You can just print them out and use them with your clients. Just don't take my copyright and all that off of them. These are goals because you want to keep track of all these things. Also, the nutrients, I gave you my nutrient evaluation scorecards, and those are really valuable, and you can actually keep track of how they are. And none of these are like exact. Even the blood tests, there's nothing exact, but we're using all of these as clues to find out where the imbalances lie. And if you can figure out where their imbalances lie, you can help them to get the foods and the supplements in them that are going to help start to restore that balance. And those are the things that I put in my ready and willing assessment. Looks like I didn't take some of these out, but before your first assessment, you're going to be looking at the basic health questionnaire, asking for their health records and prior labs, doing the ready and willing evaluation, and looking at a diet diary. That's really all you need to do before you get on with them. You can really look at these things. You know so much about them, you can get to the heart of it. And then during the initial, you're going to spend some time establishing that rapport, reviewing with them the pre-consultation forms, any things you had questions about, discussing what their goals are. That's where you bring up the big why. Discuss their daily activities and diet and the reasons for some of those things. Find out how emotionally tied they are to their eating habits. Do they have emotional eating problems? Review any old labs if there's time, and suggest just a few actions. Don't overwhelm them on that first flow. Think about that first as that getting to know you, you know, that first date where you're really getting to know, and then you're going to give them a few things that they can do right away. Don't make it the biggest things, but give them things you think are going to get them some response, and they're going to go, oh, I really want to work with this person. And then I would also offer them, I would add to this, to offer them some sort of ongoing consultation and support package, whether it be, you know, 3 months of your care, whether it be a specific, you know, 4-week jump start, whatever it is that you feel that they most need. Okay. So the functional exam components, I gave you an interpretation guide. I think it's probably 8 or 10 pages long that goes through all different marks on the body and what they can mean in terms of functional and nutrition. Please use that. Please use that. Use it on everybody. And then as you start to do this more, you'll get more comfortable with it and you'll be able to do and pick and choose amongst the things that you think are needed for each person. Blood pressure, the measurements, eyes, looking at their lips and mouth, face, tongue, head, hand, skin, and I give you interpretations for all of that in that document. It's gold, pure gold. Then I gave you an assessment checklist by body system. So this is going to help you to see what is it that for each of the different body systems, what are the ways that you can assess what's going on? Some of these are just temperature tests they can do at home, like the temperature test or the postural blood pressure test, waist-hip ratio. Some of them are lab tests, like the stool and the blood. Some of them are a little bit more in-depth kind of challenges that they can do at home that you'll have to explain if you want them to do it, like HCL challenge and transit time. And some of them are more advanced tests, like 24-hour urine. You decide what you need. I like to opt for the minimum amount of testing that will give me the amount of information that I most need. When you do blood testing, you can record it on the tracking sheet. The version of this, the PDF version that I gave you, you can actually just print and fill out. But if you want the Excel version, which took us days and days and days to create, we have that within our NEPT program. So those of you who joined us for NEPT, you're going to be able to fill it in for that, and you can create a copy of that whole Master Health tracker for each of your clients. Just take it and clone it and copy it. We like to put it up on a Google Drive because that way we can share it with them. And if they add things and we add things, we don't end up losing track of who has the latest document. It's an awesome tool. And if you have the Excel version of it that you will get with when you're in NEPT, then you can go and make it your own. You can add your own sections to it. You can rearrange things because we all like things a little bit differently. And the more experience you get, the more you're going to see, like for your particular clientele, there may be some particular bits of information that you don't need and other bits of information that you want to add. And that's what you can do when you're in NEPT. There is a thyroid lab analysis. I just want to make sure whenever you do a thyroid lab analysis that it's the full lab analysis. Most of the doctors, most of the labs will try to shortcut it and just give you like the TSH. And if the TSH is abnormal, meaning in their eyes over 4.5, then they'll run a T3 and a T4. But really, you need a complete panel. The minimum I would say you need is TSH, total T4, free T3, and antibodies. That's the minimum that you should do on any person because there's so many hidden gems in there that would be missed for years and years as the person gets worse and worse before they actually show up clinically hypothyroid. Hey. The complete blood sugar testing, we talked about that. All of this stuff we went into way more detail, but it's super important that you evaluate people's blood sugar, and just doing fasting glucose alone is not enough. We need to look at their insulin level. You need to compare their triglycerides and HDLs. We need to look at hemoglobin A1C, which gives us the average blood glucose over a length of time. We need to look at their postprandial glucose and insulin, meaning after they've eaten, and you challenge it. You have them eat the, not go drink sugar syrup like the glucose tolerance test has them do, but instead have them eat the highest carbohydrate meal that they would generally eat and then see how their body's responding to that. No sense taxing them with the sugar syrup stuff And unless that's what they're doing on a regular basis, then you can. But no sense just getting all that stress to the body. These are the things you need, and you must. This is the stuff I really think you should be doing on everybody, because hidden blood sugar issues are the underlying cause of so many things. Between that and the gut, those two are so, I would say, just about any person that comes in to see you that has any kind of health problems probably has imbalances there. So if you get really good in analyzing the blood sugar and the digestion, you're halfway there or more. I wanted to include the vitamin D action plan. I know we talked about this at the event, but I wanted to go through this a little bit more slowly because a lot of people had questions about it. Vitamin D must be tested in everyone. There's debate about what the optimal range is. Some of the labs are saying anything over 35 to 100 is optimal. Dr. Mercola and some of the other researchers that look at people with cancer and compare them and people with autoimmune are saying 75 to 100. So I put down 60 to 100 is rough, but it depends on what else is going on with your client. If your client has retractable, irritable bowel and leaky gut and they've had it for a long time, they probably need to be on the higher end. If they have an autoimmune disease, they probably need to be on the higher end. But everybody's individual. So this is what I use as a general guideline. I'm not telling you that this is what you should use. You need to make clinical judgment. But if I find that their vitamin D is less than 20 when they start, I'll have them take 20,000 IUs every day for a week or up to a month and then drop it down to 10,000 for 2 months, then retest. So if they're at an 8, I'm probably going to have them take 20,000 for 6 weeks and then retest, because I want to see, are we on track? Do they need more or do they need less? If they're right at around 20, 19, 18, I may only have them take the 20,000 for a couple of weeks and then maybe drop to 10,000 for 2 months and retest. It just depends on how willing they are to go back and get retested. But it really takes a lot to get them up from there. If there's between 20 and 30, I usually just start with 10,000 for 3 months and retest. If they are 30 to 40, I'll usually have them take 6,000. If they're 40 to 60, 2 to 4,000 for 3 months, then recheck. I really recommend that you recheck people with vitamin D every 3 months for the first year until you get that rhythm going and you figure out the amount they need to be taken or the amount of sunlight that they need in order to make this work for them. If it's above 60, then I make a judgment call. If they have autoimmune disease and I want to get it closer to 80, I'm probably going to have them do 2 to 5,000. But if they don't have an autoimmune disease and they live in a place where they can actually get sunlight throughout the year, then I may only have them take up 1 to 2,000. So we'll retest it based on that. Location matters. You know, location, location, location. You can lay on the roof in Toronto, naked all winter long, and never get enough vitamin D. Okay? Never get enough vitamin D. So you really just have to be aware. But if you're in Florida or you're in Texas, there's a lot more months of sunshine. That's my take on vitamin D, a really important nutrient to be testing for. And for testing, here's what I do. I get a baseline. If they need to be supplemented, I supplement it. And then I retest every 3 months until stable for at least a year. And make sure you test in winter and summer, and you adjust the doses based on their exposures to the sun. The next thing we talked about was the functional lab testing. We went into detail on all of these. I'm not going to go through details now. I'm just giving you this as the highlights and remind you, not everybody needs every one of these tests. So based on indications, you suspect they have adrenal fatigue? Well, it depends on why they may have the adrenal fatigue. You may opt to, as I do oftentimes, to work with them for a couple months on their foundations, assuming their foundations are poor. If their foundations are really good when they come in, like their diet's been cleaned up and they're doing meditation and they're taking care of their sleep and all that, then I may do the adrenal test right away. Now, more and more, I'm opting to do the Dutch test, the dried urine test, for the adrenals as well as the sex hormones. So I'll opt for that sometimes instead of doing the salivary cortisol test. I'm not ready to give it up yet. A lot of folks are saying, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to do the Dutch. But I'm still playing it cautiously and watching the results and seeing how they compare. You need to test their sex hormones and their adrenals, which are all steroids. You can do the Dutch or the 24-hour. The difference is the Dutch is actually dried urine, and so they don't have to collect it. They just collect it, I mean, for 24 hours. They don't have to walk around with their bucket and collect every ounce of pee for 24 hours, which can be a pain. But they just collect it at certain times, and they pee on a strip, they dry it, and they send it off to the lab. So it's much easier to deal with. And they seem to have very similar responses, very similar outcomes. Some tests show more than others, but I like both. I haven't decided which one I like more, or if it's worth the 24-hour urine for the complication of it, for maybe the one or two things extra that it gives. Just depends on the person. The other thing is a comprehensive digestive analysis. At the events, Jeff talked in depth about that and how that's done, and about the organic acid test and how that looks at markers of digestive dysfunction. In other words, it looks at some of the toxins that these critters give off when they're putting out the endotoxins that they put out into the system, and then it gets into the bloodstream and then into the urine. We looked at immune system evaluation. We looked at the Cyrex tests. We looked at fatty acids, one of my favorite tests, which is inexpensive and gives us so much information. If you remember, we looked at that list and that chart, which showed us the way that the short chain fats, the linoleic and alpha linolenic acids, convert into the longer chains, the DHA, GLA, and EPA, and how we can facilitate those with nutrients. I love that test. Very simple and easy to do, and I've gotten great results with it. Amino acids are used a lot of times to test for neurotransmitter precursors. I'm not a big fan of doing direct neurotransmitter testing. I haven't found that to be especially valuable, but I do like looking at the oat test in terms of neurotransmitter function, at least as a starting point. The organic acids test looks at pathways in the body. It looks at specific pathways and metabolites, and you can tell if there's a deficiency or an excess in a particular pathway by how much of specific other chemical byproducts. We do hours and hours of training about organic acids and looking at lots and lots of case studies in our NAPT program. So those of you who joined us, you'll be able to join us for those. Heavy metals, we had a great presentation by Jamie at the event. And he talked a lot about hair analysis, which is what he did in a lot of the good labs. So highly recommend that you go back and look at that again. Hopefully we've got his slides uploaded. I know he was sharing them with us and hadn't at the time of the event, but I'm pretty sure he has since. And if he hasn't, we'll make sure that he does and we get those up there so that you can watch back, listen back, and be able to take some good notes. And then finally, we talked about methylation and genetics. And here's the thing, with it's the newest kid on the block, it's the stuff that's sexy, and a lot of people just want to do the genetics and see what they should be taking, what they should be eating based on their genetics, and that's not how it works at all. In honesty, we use the genetics to help us to tailor those the plan. So, and also as, I don't want to say ammunition, what it is as persuasion, let's just say, to people to actually make some changes. So when you look at pathways and you go, you seem to have some genetics that might make it so that you're sensitive to gluten. Oh, you have some genetics which might make it so that it's really hard for you to break down the heterocyclic amines that are found in charbroiled meats and exhaust fumes. And you can actually help people to create a lifestyle and a diet that supports their methylation and genetics, as opposed to causing those things to cause problems. So there's a lot there. And I have a special handout I'll give you at the end to show you. So this was the Dutch test. Remember, that was the dried urine. I love the little wheels. The wheels help us to see where the person is in relationship to where they should be. So, for example, in this person has way high estrogen, progesterone's in a good range and the testosterone's in a good range, but her estrogen is really, really high. And I'm saying her, yeah, it's a female sample. And then we look at the cortisol. We look at the free cortisol is quite low. The DHEA is normal and the metabolized cortisol is normal. So the person is not actually there. The cortisol is staying bound up and we can look at all those things. We have those in the presentation. Those of you who are in an NEPT, we're going to bring in the people from Dutch to do a more comprehensive, extended training, more than they could have done at the event. We're going to do that probably in either December or early January, or early next year, January or February, depending on their schedules and ours. Meridian Valley is the 24-hour urine. You could see that. They give you the different estrogens, the E1, E2, E3, as well as giving you the total estrogens and then the estrogen quotient. And I just really want you to remember how to calculate an estrogen quotient, because any time you have those three, E1, E2, E3, estrone, estradiol, and estriol, whether it's saliva, urine, or blood, you can do this calculation, and that gives you an idea of how safe the metabolism of estrogen is. That estrogen quotient should be above 1, which means that in proportion to the other two, the E3 should be more than what the sum of the other two are. You can clearly see in looking at these numbers that this person has way more estrone, and estrone is the more proliferative estrogen, which makes them much more prone to breast cancer and other hormone-sensitive cancers. So this person's at risk. Now, the good news is, in many, if not most people, with this quotient out of balance, they can help that conversion because they can take iodine, and oftentimes these people are low in iodine. There's a lot of iodophobia. We talked about that. Like, people are saying, don't ever take iodine because there were some studies that said that there's an increased risk of Hashimoto's. Yes, there's an increased risk of Hashimoto's, which is autoimmune thyroid disease, when there is too much iodine. Get that. When there is too much. There's also an increased risk of Hashimoto's when there's too little. There's also an increased risk of hypothyroidism when there's too little, because we absolutely need iodine to be able to put together the thyroid hormone. So this gives us an idea of whether they actually are low in iodine. In this case, I would say they probably are, although there are other factors that could cause that to be off. So this is really good. We're also looking at the various metabolites. So this is super important to get, and you can get this on the Dutch test as well as the 24-hour. You're looking at the 2,16 and 4-hydroxyestrogens, right? Estrone. And these are metabolites that the body's getting ready. The liver takes them and gets them ready to be eliminated. Well, the 2 is the safest. The 4 is the most dangerous. The 16 is in the middle. This person is low in all of her metabolites. So even though the 2-4 ratio is not very good, this person is not at high risk because they have a low level of the 4-hydroxy. However, the 16-hydroxy is important for bone metabolism, and having that low of 16 in this case may put this person at risk of osteoporosis. The other thing you look at here is the methoxies, and the methoxies is a methylated form. And if a person has some methylation genetics defects, then they're going to have low numbers there. So these are all the kind of things that you can be looking at when you're looking at these tests. These are not the tests you're going to run on everybody first thing. Go with the basics. You're going to see a lot of things. And you'll see that if you were to do a test like this on day one that you meet a patient before you do anything, and then you just work on the foundations and do this again, you're going to see major improvements. So I'd rather save them the money, work on the obvious stuff first, and then see where they're at, and then start running these more sophisticated and expensive tests. The comprehensive digestion, you want to analyze somebody's digestion. Symptoms are so critical. Digestive symptoms, but also systemic symptoms. People with digestive symptoms may have skin rashes, headaches, depression, anxiety, eczema, all sorts of things. You also want to look at physical signs of nutrient deficiencies due to malabsorption. So that's where those tests that I gave you, those little questionnaires for all the nutrients, come in handy. And I give those at the beginning of any digestive program I'm doing with group. There are functional assessments, like looking at their transit time, HCL challenge. All of this stuff is in your notes. Then there's immune system responses. Are they allergic or sensitive to things? That's important as well. And then lab testing, blood chemistry markers. We gave you pages, a whole big page or two of markers that can be elevated or low in a person that has problems in their digestive tract. Just on the routine blood chem. Remember I talked about those hidden gems? That's one of them. And then, of course, stool testing, where they have to do their sample, and they do it for several days, and usually 3 days, and then they test for parasites and candida and the natural flora, the normal flora, the out-of-balance flora, and the function, the pancreatic elastase, and so many things on that stool test. And then, finally, the organic acid testing, you look at the on the Great Plains one, it's the very first page where they give you all the markers of dysbiosis. These are important things to know about. Do you start with the organic acid test or the stool test? No. I start with just general good digestive system hygiene. I start with the head, right? Getting their stress levels down, chewing their food, looking to see do they have any mucosal disruptions, and helping them with demulcents, herbs that actually have like mucusy and help to repair, like slippery elm and marshmallow and things like that. So we start with the basics. Don't start looking for zebras. When you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. A lot of times we're all looking for the fancy herb or the fancy test that's going to show us this obscure organism that's causing a person's problems, when really it's their daily habits. Now, all that said, we get a lot of those sophisticated patients that come in that have been through and done all those things. They may say they've done it, but you want to go through and do a really good history to make sure. I've had a lot of folks who've gone through and they've done this herb for parasites, and they've done this for leaky gut, and they've done this for HCL, and they're taking enzymes and probiotics. When you actually ask them about their eating hygiene, like I like to call it the yoga of eating, how well are they relaxing before they eat? Are they chewing their food, or are they bolting it down? And that could make or break a person, no matter how good the food is, no matter what herbs they take. So don't be afraid to always go to the basics. Always, always, always go to the basics. These are some of the inflammatory markers that we see on the blood spot fatty acid test. We're looking for the AA, arachidonic acid, EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, ratio. The optimum is 1.5 to 3. The average American comes out at 11. Anything above 10 is considered unwell. Anything above 15 is considered highly inflammatory. And people with chronic illnesses and disease, like multiple sclerosis and Crohn's disease and a lot of the inflammatory diseases, have numbers over 15. So you're going to be helping them to keep that ratio in balance through foods. And the charts I gave you will help you with that. And we have a whole macronutrient section in NEPT that goes through all that with great detail. I have two of the same slides in there. I'm going to have to update these slides. This is a chart that will give you some generals. We have a chart in NEPT in the macronutrients for those of you who are in. When you get to the macronutrients module, which is module 3, you have this beautiful spreadsheet that lists all the foods, and you can actually fill it in for people and teach them to fill it in so they can help themselves to stay in ratio. And it's a really great chart. So amino acids, we talked about reasons for measuring them. We had Jan do a really awesome presentation, although quick, on autism. And it's really important in any neurologic conditions that we look at amino acids. So we're going to be able to look at their amino acids to look to see if their protein intake is sufficient, whether they have enough stomach acid, assess pancreatic enzyme status, evaluate neurotransmitter imbalances, determine hormone inadequacy or adequacy, evaluate healing and immune issues, and assess vitamin and mineral status. So this is not something we do on everybody. Again, we do the basics. If we don't get the results, if we get the diet changed and we get them on some basic supplementation, then we start to look at the more in-depth stuff, and especially folks with head stuff, neurotransmitter stuff, amino acids can be important. But you don't have to necessarily test them like with the urine or the blood. You can actually do some assessments. There's a wonderful book called The Edge Effect that has all kinds of little questionnaires, and we also have that in NEPT where we have questionnaires for the different neurotransmitters so you get an idea of where they might be off. In organic acids, Great Plains has one and they test 72 markers. Genova just tests 46. So I usually use the Great Plains. They're about the same price. Great Plains also includes a little consultation with one of their consultants there, which I highly recommend you take advantage of, at least on the first few that you do. Jamie talked a lot about measuring for toxic and essential minerals. Blood chemistry is not so good, except for the electrolytes. Blood levels of minerals, some of them are reasonable, some of them are not. Like, you can't go by calcium in the blood. Magnesium, not so great. Blood cells, you can look at essential elements there, and Genova has a test called the NutriVal that looks there, and SpectraCell looks at the white cells and looks at them there. So those are a couple of tests that are possible for those nutrients. Hair testing is mostly good for the toxics, although there's some other ratios you can look at, like Jamie had talked about. Taste testing, it's not universally accepted, but there's good evidence for the validity, and we offered you the kits at the event to play with and test them out. I use it as one of the factors, one of the data points. Stool testing for metals is controversial. Urine testing is really valid, mostly just valid when you do a chelation test, which means that you test them and then you have them take some chelating agent and then you test them again and then you compare. I don't do that chelation test often, the challenge test often, because a lot of the folks that I want to know this stuff about have neurotransmitter and neurological problems. And when you use one of those chelating agents, it's actually pulling out of storage. So it might pull it out of a safe storage, put those toxins into the bloodstream, and then that can affect the brain. So I'm really careful about that. And then the pre and post urine based on loading dose, that's another way to do it. So those are all the ways you can do minerals. Again, go back and watch the recording. If you haven't purchased the recordings, I know some of you might have been on live stream and you did purchase the recordings, and I know some of you that were here. If you're in NEPT, you automatically will get the recordings. If you paid for the recordings at the event, as soon as they're ready, you will get them, but you should have already gotten a link to the live stream recordings if you wanted to review them now. Live stream recordings are just the unedited, they're just up the way they are, and they're not as high a quality because of the bandwidth issues, but the recorded, the edited versions of them usually take them anywhere from 2 weeks to a month to get those done. The home stuff, we had the kits out on the last day. Hopefully you got a chance to try them, those of you who stayed. There's the mineral test kits. We had the pH testing. We had the nitric oxide test. We had the blood sugar meters. And I'm feeling kind of bummed because the blood sugar meter that I like the most, that I find is the most accurate and repeatable, is being taken off the market. And I have like six of them. So I'm trying to hoard up as many of the test strips that are good till 2019 so that I have them. And I'm also in the process of testing other meters. And I'll be posting it on the INE page. So these are all the things that we had there. So let's look quickly at genetic testing. There it is. Okay. Genetic testing. We looked at this pathway. This is Dr. Lynch's Metabolic Pathway Planner. Awesome stuff. Tiny, 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 too tiny to read, but he does have these available online and as a big poster, which I took to the event but never showed you. It's huge, like 4-foot by 3-foot poster of these. They also have that wonderful Stratagene test that we talked about. And I love that Stratagene test because it'll show you where the metabolic issues might be for that particular person. But this is super important, and we stress this at the event, and I need to stress it again. Before you address the individual SNPs by saying, oh, this SNP means you need B12, this SNP means you need B6, got to address the 7 pillars, get them on clean whole foods and an antioxidant-rich diet. got to remove all the synthetic folic acid. You heard several of our speakers speak about that at the event. Folic acid is synthetic. It's not the real thing. It's not the methylated folate, and it actually can block the uptake of the methylated folate at the blood-brain barrier. So really critical that we get rid of the folic acid. Look at the multivitamins and get it out. It's important to do a gut healing and pathogen removal. It's important to balance blood sugar. It's important to address mitochondrial dysfunction. Test homocysteine levels. Get some B vitamin support. Get some adrenal and thyroid support in there. All these things are important. It's not a matter of just this for that on SNPs. You use this information to your advantage, but you don't take it as the only thing. So the way we do genetic testing is you get the 23andMe testing. This is my way. You don't have to do it this way. You download the raw data from 23andMe, and then you generate a bunch of reports, and you review them. When you're learning, I would pay to get them all done because it's really good to know and have them. Once you've figured out which ones you like the best, or you can figure out which SNPs are most important for you to look at for this person, you can keep it down. So when I say all of them, Genetic Genie, the methylation and detox, it's free. They ask for a donation if you want to. MTHFR support has one. It's 49 pages. It's got some nice little videos on the site when you look at it. Not for everything, but maybe 10 to 20% of them have little videos explaining them, and they have pathways. But it's really just a list of all the SNPs, which I get that on everybody because I want that cheat sheet list. Metabolic Healing has some really nice descriptions, so that will help, and even the person can understand it with a little bit of help describing it, what it means. And they group them. They group them by gut SNPs and brain SNPs and clotting SNPs and immune SNPs, et cetera. Really nice report. Stratagene's the most recent. It just came out a few months ago, and it's from Dr. Lynch. And what I love about it is he shows you on the pathways exactly where the person is out, where they have the SNPs happening, and that helps you to be able to see where they might have some issues. I don't generally do Livewello or Promethes. Some people really like them. I'm not fond of their way of reporting. I don't see any value at this point to doing those over the others. There's a Stratagene Facebook group, so as soon as you order your first Stratagene, you can join their Facebook group. Great discussions there. Dr. Ben Lynch pops in there periodically, and other people who are well-versed in this pop in there and answer questions. And then study with someone who's a few steps ahead. I love to do this, and we do a lot of this in NEPG. We do a lot of this on case study calls. Michael McAvoy, who was at the event, he had a booth at the event. He runs the metabolic healing test, and he has a program that you can take to learn more about the methylation. We don't have our nutrigenomics methylation program available to the public at this point. It's just available within NEPG. So here's the special thing I got you, genetic testing cheat sheets. Remember on the last day I had these beautiful charts that we just barely briefly went over. There were blood sugar SNPs and gut SNPs and neurotransmitter related and vitamin D SNPs and all kinds of different categories. These are great. I call them cheat sheets. Print them out, staple them together, or put them in a little notebook. And as you start to do the genetic testing with people, you can look up those key things. So, okay, I wonder if they have any of these gut stuff. And then you would take, it's really hard to look it up in the raw data. That's why I recommend you get something like the MTHFR support report, which has most of them listed. Now, doesn't mean it has everything, but you start there. And if you really want to know if they have a particular SNP and you're not seeing it on any of these reports, then you can go into the raw data and do a search on that particular gene. So you go here to drreedamarie.com/go/genetic testing cheat sheets. And I will put that at the end. Once I finish the presentation, I'll put that in the area where you can read it. So drreedamarie.com/go/genetic testing cheat sheets. Should be able to remember that. So let's look at creating action plans. And I'm just going to briefly go over how we talked about this at the event. So when you're in balance, everything's in balance, everything's great, but when they have chronic symptoms, you need to get to the root cause. You need to look at the self-care pillars. So we're going to start with looking at the pillars. We gave you the 7 pillars assessment. Once you've done the 7 pillars, you want to be looking at the various pieces, and these are some of the tests you can do for the digestion, blood sugar, adrenals, thyroid, sex hormones, and organs. Once you have that, you want to look at what can you actually do to bring these things into balance, right? So actions that are shared by all is getting the pillars in balance. So that's why you start there. And then for digestion, I talk about various summaries of different things you can do. You may have some of your own to add to this. These are not meant to be totally comprehensive, but it's a good cheat sheet. Pre-meal ritual, chewing, enzymes, probiotics, herbs like slippery elm, marshmallow, licorice, hydration, abdominal massage. So for each of these areas, I've given you a list of anywhere from, 3 to 8 different activities that you can do with the person. So it's just, like I said, a nice cheat sheet. At the event, we gave these out in an 8.5 by 11 sheet. If you weren't at the event, you were on live stream, or you just missed it, what you can do is go and get yourself a big paper and stick it in your printer and then print out the PDF on that large paper. It comes out really beautiful. So I gave you a list of things you can do for each of the pillars, some of the things to get them in balance. Don't be afraid to stay here. Don't be afraid. Like Tony said during her presentation, they come back in, they say they aren't doing water. She talks to them about water again. Like, we're not moving on until we get past this, right? So really stick to your guns on this, because it's going to make them actually make the changes. And we know that if they don't get enough water, if they have too much stress, they're not going to be able to get well. We had Dr. David talking about the Qigong and meditation. We had that at the event. That was pretty awesome. The strong values and visions. If they're not connected with what they want most and what's most important, they're going to keep making the same errors of judgment in doing things that are hurting them. So really, really important getting to their big why. Big why is so super important. Sleep is super important. You've got to have them be sleeping, because they cannot repair. They cannot heal if they don't sleep. They cannot get their blood sugar balanced. Their appetite's going to be out of balance. So here's some of the things you can do for sleep. Really important to get a good night's sleep. Nutrition, huge. So much you can do here. This is where I like to spend a lot of time. Gut healing herbs, brain healing herbs, nutrient balance, fun recipes, helping them set their kitchen up for success. Doing classes is one of the best ways to get to people, and it's a great way to get new clients, is through their stomach. So when they come to your class and you teach them that they don't have to give up cheesecake and pancakes and stay on a healthy whole foods diet, and their eyes open like saucers, and you let them taste the food, you've got people who are more committed to make the changes. So food is huge. And the food we had at the event was just absolutely beautiful and delicious, wasn't it? I got so used to having somebody else make food for me. The fitness pillar doesn't mean they have to be running an hour and two or two a day. Teach them those little burst training exercises. Teach them brain exercises to help with their body. Just get them moving. Dancing in front of their TV set is fine. Cleaning up their environment, because so many of those hormone disruptors impact gut flora, which impacts everything. Toxins in them irritate the brain. The liver stress affects neurotransmitters, digestion. So helping them to upgrade their personal care product choices, their home environment, using air filters, windows open, water, clean water, and avoiding food allergens. And finally, fun. Get them having fun, whatever that takes. Having fun is so super important. And that all activates all the neurotransmitters, and their gut health healing. And there's so many studies about the effects of fun. So have them learn to add fun. It's shocking how many people don't. We had a lot of fun at the event. This is a picture from last year when we had enough wands to give everybody, and everybody had so much fun just dealing with the wands. We had so much fun. So, pillars, I gave you these charts where we're building it, right? So we have the digestion. Before moving on to anything else, you get the pillars handled, and then you move to digestion. Here's some ways to test it. There's this chart that I gave you, which is invaluable. It's from my grand program and from our CMDS program, and it's a way for you to keep track of the various questionnaires they do and what their scores are, and then plotting it out here. So basically you're looking at, okay, so if this person has low stomach acid, which is the first column, they have high score on this low stomach acid, what are the best things? The dark green are the things you most want them to do, the pre-meal rituals, the HCL challenge, the zinc and bitters before meals, and some of the cholagogues, because that's all going to help them. All the stuff in the light green will help just about everybody, right? That's just good for everybody. There's certain things that are contraindicated. So in the person with high stomach acid, excess stomach acid, person with reflux, the HCL challenge is not a good thing. Right? It has a no there, right? Things you have to do cautiously are cholagogues and bitters, because those are going to stimulate the production of HCL. And if they've got a torn up mucous membrane, not good. So that's how you read this chart. It's an awesome chart, and I was really excited when I created it. I love creating things. I used to do that when I was in school, too. I would just create all these charts. We have one of these for each. So there's the blood sugar, tells you some of the things and ways that you can test for it. There's the adrenals and the various tests for those. There's the thyroid and all the various tests you can do for the thyroid. There's the sex hormones and all the tests you can do there. There's the organs and all the tests you can do there. So we're going to pull this all together in this strategic implementation plan. Print this out. Keep it by your desk. You want to start with the thorough history, like we said. Do the seven pillars assessment. Find out where their obstacles are. Use the nutrition scorecards to see what nutrients you may be able to shore up. Help them create an action plan to balancing their foundations. Then you can do a functional physical evaluation. We've given you the tools to do that. Look at any previous labs, if that's available. And then based on what you've found so far, if you need more tests done, then order the appropriate tests or have them order the appropriate tests. We gave you lists of labs and where you can order them. Suggest appropriate in-office and home testing, things that they can do on their own at home. Create an action plan to balance the pyramid. So you're going to look at, this is your plan. This is how you help people get well. You start with optimizing their digestion. You help them to stabilize their blood sugar. You help them to repair and rebuild their adrenals. You help them to restore thyroid function. You help them balance their sex hormones and address organ imbalances. And you've got that beautiful chart that I put you together, the cheat sheet, that shows you different kinds of interventions and herbs that you can use at each of those levels. Is that the be-all and the end-all? No, it's the starting point, okay? We go through way more details of that in our programs. Then you can get the 23andMe testing, and you generate the reports, the genetic genie, methylation and detox, the MTHFR support, metabolic healing strategy, and live well, Prometheus, whatever your choice is. And then update their plan based on the genetics. Oh, I just found out that they are not going to handle gluten very well. Take the gluten out. Oh, this person seems like they're not going to be able to handle alcohol or caffeine very well based on their SNPs. Okay, let's make sure they take those things out. It really helps you to help them better. They may need to take more vitamin A, vitamin D, and I gave you all of those things in those cheat sheets that have some of the support there. Our mission together is to change healthcare, a new paradigm of healthcare. This lecture tonight, very different from some lectures you might have heard in a medical school setting, right? Very, very different. This is not the approach. The approach there is put them in a box, call it a diagnosis, and then figure out what are the things we do for people in that box. Move on. If it doesn't work, well, I don't know. I'll just have to live with it. It's just the way you are. So we're not here for that. We're here on a mission, and I want to support you as much as I possibly can on that mission. I want you to be able to go out there and educate the public about this mission. So just right now, make a commitment to yourself that sometime between now and the end of the year, you're going to approach some of these different places in your community, or you're going to go online and you're going to set up some sort of a talk. It can be at a church, a school, a library. Local support groups are great, the celiac group or fibromyalgia group. There's any number of those. Set up a talk. Just go in and set up a talk. For those of you who have been through CMDS or IRSPT, you know we've given you talks like that. In NEPT, same way. Go ahead and just do it. Or just make up your own. What do you want to talk to them about? What do you want to attract them into your practice? You can go on online forums and post there. Just get to know people. Don't try selling yourself there. Just educate people. Write blogs, guest blog. We're always looking for guest bloggers. So if you want to submit a blog to us and it's really good, we're happy to post it because we just love providing great information to our people. And if you give us a thing, we'll send it out. It'll go in our newsletter to, 67,000 people on our list at this point. So definitely you'll get good exposure that way. And then social media. If you're in the NEPT community, obviously you're going to get higher priority on this. But if you guys don't submit and we get something great from the Shine attendee, we'll post that. And that's what I want you to do is get out there, let people know, educate them. But also keep up with your own education, right? Some of you are in our IRSPT class, our insulin resistance class, that's what that is, or our clinical mastery of the digestive system. Some of you are in the NEPT, and some of you just come to the Shine conferences. If you've been to the Shine, that's an easy way to get more education is to buy the All Access Pass for the Shine conferences. And I don't know if we have a link, Lynn. If you have that link, you can give it to them. We had it at the event. Don't remember what the link was exactly. It was on an order form. If you still have your package from the order form, it should be in your binder. For $300, we're giving you all 4 years of Shine, which has tons of great information in it. That's a great way to start with your education, very inexpensive. For those of you who are ready for a better and more in-depth and to get more mentorship, we have our CMDS program. We have our IRSPT program. The CMDS we launched a while ago, about a month and a half ago. A lot of you are in it. If you're not and you want to go to digestivemastery.com, you can sign up for the self-study version, but you'll also get a couple of calls with us if you do that, at least three and maybe five. The insulin resistance, you can go to insulinresistancepractitioner.com. And we have our nutritional endocrinology practitioner training, which isn't for everybody. It's just for those select few that are ready to go into that depth. If that's you who wants to share and learn more about nutritional endocrinology, that's the way to go. Now, what is nutritional endocrinology? It's not just what we think about in terms of hormones. Matthew wrote a question in. Matthew was at the event. He said, I can't make it tonight, but I'll listen to the recording. It was a lovely and informative time at the conference. Thank you. Here's the question. A year ago when I discovered your course and was considering it, I got thrown off by the endocrinology title. I thought it focused only on the endocrine system, and I want to learn about the whole body, the gut, immune system, etc. After hearing you at the conference and looking even more closely at the curriculum, it seems you dig into the full body, not just the endocrine. Is that true? And if so, can you extrapolate? Yes, absolutely. So that's the thing. Nutritional endocrinology is the whole body. In my worldview, right? I think that the endocrine is the master controller. So hormones control digestion. So when I talk digestion, that's an endocrine system. That's part of the endocrine system. When I talk the immune system, it's part of the endocrine system because hormones control it all. They control appetite. They control our sleep and wakefulness. All of those things are controlled by the endocrine system. So nutritional endocrinology, we have modules on every single system in the body because that's what you need to do. It's all hormonally controlled. So I hope that clears some of that up for Matthew and for anybody else who might have had that question. When you want to be successful, you need to be taking care of you. We give you that opportunity when you're in our NEPT program because you get to work on you. We give you that opportunity in all of our programs because we encourage you to work on yourself, and we give you access to all the programs we've created for clients. You also need clinical mastery.
You need to master the things we talked about tonight. You need to really understand how the digestive tract works and how all the hormones work and how the immune system works to an extent that you can help people to figure out what's wrong. Maybe that's the big piece that's missing in our education system these days, is people don't really master things from a functional clinical perspective. And finally, you need effective business and marketing. And while we are not a business and marketing program per se, we have so many resources in the program for that. Someone posted on Facebook today about, hey, I want to know, I'm going to be talking to a client, I want to offer them a, you know, a 6-week program or whatever, and how do I do that? I said, oh, just go to the Practice Building Success System bonus in our program, and we have about probably 14 or 15 modules in there, where we go through various aspects of building your business, whether it's an enrollment conversation or putting together programs or finding a niche or advertising on Facebook. All of those things are covered. So while we're not putting ourselves out there as the be-all and the end-all marketing and business program, we incorporate that because I believe you have to be have all of those things to be successful. And as I said, endocrinology is the master control center. It is indeed, in my opinion, the key to unraveling the profound impact of hormone imbalance on every system in the body, not just those. So meet our NEPT students. These are the people who were at the event. A few of them were missing. They had run out early. These were those at the event, and there's many more. There's over 120 current students, current members of the program. It's still small enough for me to get to know everybody, and indeed, people who show up for calls and participate, you know, I know you, right? We encourage that, and that's what I want everybody to be doing. This was this picture of the group last year. There's some other people here that were not in the other group because they didn't make it to Shine this year. It's an amazing, beautiful, wonderful group, and if being part of it calls to you, you know that there's three levels. If you were at Shine or on the live stream and you didn't, you know, you didn't really know, you weren't sure, you didn't get a chance to talk to anybody in depth, we encourage you to go to neptapply.com and set up a strategy session, and you get to talk to Lynn or Jan or Tony. Usually the calls are 45 minutes long, sometimes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter. Get all your questions answered and make a decision, a rational decision, if it's right for you. We welcome you if it's the right thing, but we are very honest and we'll tell you if you're not ready for it and what you can do to get ready for it. That's what's included, neptapply.com, and set up your appointment, and you've got a printed handout at the event of the curriculum, and if you were online, you also got that in a PDF. We do the in-depth training modules, lifestyle and health assessments, a virtual library of all the foundational health materials. Everything's in audio, video, there's documents, recipe guides, preparation and fitness videos, so much. Done for you handouts, presentations, checklists, and protocols that our students have said, and those who spoke and gave their case histories at the event said, yeah, I didn't have to reinvent this. I just took what you gave me and I used it. And I did it for that reason. It took me many, 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 many years to develop all this stuff. Why do I want to hoard it and keep it under my belt? I want to share it and save you guys the work that I had to go through. Action plans. And I'm not a big fan of the word protocols, but I like to call them action plans. So you can take, you know, here's some of the actions that may help to correct an imbalance in this particular area. Here's some of the things that you can do, but you're going to tailor it for that person. There are programs out there that say, you know, you don't need to have customized. It's too much work to customize for each person. Just follow these protocols. That makes me cringe. I'm sorry. We are not protocols. Everybody's an individual. And yeah, there's some basic things that everybody needs to do, but even amongst them, we have to customize it. We do lots and lots of case analysis, lots and lots of that. We have a one case study call every month where that's all we do is cases, and then we do smaller cases throughout the other calls throughout the month. And we give you lots of coaching. So if you are, you know, ready to join this amazing, superlative, fun group and come to our retreat in the spring where we go to fun places and just do great things together and join us. And that's it. And I would say you learned a lot here at Shine. Put it to use. whether you join us for NEPT or not, whether this is the right time for you or not. Sink into your heart and figure that out. And if it feels right, talk to us about how you can make it happen. But if it's not, make a vow to yourself to at least use what you learned at Shine and put it into action. And maybe in another year you'll be ready, or 6 months or 3 months, and we will be here for you. Okay? Can't give you the bonuses and the extras, that goodies that we have right now, but we will definitely welcome you with open arms. So thank you so much for being here, for being at Shine. I just so loved and appreciated meeting everybody there. And as much work as it was for months and months going into it, I was not feeling exhausted by the end, but I was feeling exhilarated. So thank you again for your attention. So I'm going to open up for questions now. And whenever you have a question, the way you can answer it is if you're on the phone, raise your hand with a star 2. And if you are on the web, you can type your question in either into the Q&A box or the chat. And it looks like Claudia asks, can slippery elm be contraindicated? Or contraindicated is probably the word you're looking for. It seems to cause bloat. Slippery elm can cause bloat in some folks, and usually if slippery elm causes them to bloat, I'm thinking they may have a sensitivity to FODMAPs, the fermentable oligo, di, and monosaccharides and polyols. So, and usually that's indicative that they have some sort of SIBO, small intestinal bowel overgrowth. I'm going to look to see if anybody else had questions on the phone. So I see two hands up. Park Minson, Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello.
Oh, hello? Oh, wait, hold on.
Yeah, turn off the computer.
Okay, sorry about that.
Hi, yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
So my question is, how often do you meet with clients when you start working with them? Because as a health coach, I was taught to meet with them every week. So I was just wondering how often you meet with people usually.
Yeah, so it depends on what's going on with them and how far along they are and how much they're willing to do in between. So ideally, I like to meet with them once a week at the beginning, especially if a lot of these habits are new to them. So I love that, but a lot of people are not open to that. But I'd say at least every other week. But I still, my people that are in my Diamond program, I meet with them every week. Every week. I mean, occasionally we don't. But, and sometimes it's like every week for the first 2 months or first month. And then you can go and spread it out. But I think they just need so much handholding and there's so much to teach them at the beginning that I really like meeting with them once a week. But at worst, every 2 weeks.
Okay. And then do you just meet with them indefinitely or do you have a certain amount of sessions?
Yeah, so I usually sign them up for a certain length of time. So when I first started out, it was just, okay, they paid by the session, and I just said, you know, come next week, and they would come in 3 weeks. And I'd say, come next week, and they would come in 3 weeks. You know, so they wouldn't stay committed. So then I started to do like a three-month package, and I included a certain number of sessions. And usually what I'd calculate into that three-month package was enough that they saw me once a week for the first month and then every other week for the next two, and then they'd get those number of sessions. And inevitably, people are trying to stretch it out. And, you know, it's just that you really have to judge what that person needs. Some people don't need as much handholding. They just need you to look at what they need to do. They go out and do it, and they're done. Some people just need constant handholding. So I would say pick a length of time, you know, 6 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, and do a package. Some people don't want to commit to a longer length package, so what I would do is give them a shorter length package, whether it's 6 weeks or 3 months, and make the last visit with them called a reevaluation visit. And that's where you get to see how far they've come. Oh, hey, Mary, you've had headaches, and your headaches were at a 9 out of 10 when we first started. Now you're telling me that instead of having daily headaches that are 9 out of 10 intensity, now you're only having them once a week, and they're only a 6 out of 10. You've come a long way. But clearly, you don't want to live the rest of your life with 6 out of 10 headaches once a week, how often would you like to have headaches and what would you like their intensity to be? You know, and you get the, oh, I don't want any headaches. Okay, great. So I'm looking at your habits and you've come a long way and you've stopped eating this and you've started eating that. And there's still some things you could do. Would you agree? You know, and you go through and you evaluate and you really congratulate them for where they've come. And then you say, hey, so here you are. Here's what I think you need to do. You need to be working on this and working on that. And you can go off and try to do this on your own, but my experience is that once you're on a roll, you really need that support and mentorship to keep going. So I'd like to offer you a continuing package, and that package includes this, and it costs this much. Does that sound like something you're interested in? So you make that so that if they need more. Some people, I've had people come in. One guy paid for a three-month package, and at 6 weeks, he was so much better. He said, I can do this on my own. I'm done. I don't need, you know, can my wife have the rest of my visits? I'm like, okay. And that was it. He was on his way. Other people don't stick to it quite that well, and they need a lot more hand-holding.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. All right. I don't see any other hands. Somebody else had a hand open, but it went away. Oh, there we go. Adrian. Adrian from Victoria, B.C. Hello. Oops. There you are.
Hello.
Let's try it again. Yes. Hi.
Oh, hi. Okay. So I recently finished a program in Well Coaches, Wellness Coaching, and I'm just trying to figure out a way that can be combined with, you know, the expert approach, you know, where you're telling the client what to do. So
tell me more about this wellness coaching. Is that more where you ask them questions and you help them, have them help to find their answers?
Yeah, exactly. So I would not tell them what to do. They would figure it out. I would, you know, I'd give them, you know, we would brainstorm together, but I would not say, you know, I wouldn't even offer them suggestions. It's more, or give any advice unless they ask for it. It's more like the client coming up with their own answers.
Mm-hmm. And how well does that work when they have a complicated case?
Well, I have yet to actually work with this in the, you know, out there in the, so I'm just wondering how, you know, I could work with the one and the other together. Like,
yeah, I think that the together works really well. I think that, you know, even in, there's a lot of coaching methodologies that do that. And we do, there's so much hidden inside of people and they come up with the answers, but if they don't have the information, it's hard for them to come up with the answers. So if you want to keep it where you're not actually giving them advice, but you're helping to guide them to the answers you want them to get to, there's ways that you can do that. So I really like the idea of asking people questions, but I also find that some people get really annoyed with it because they're like, I don't know, you're the expert. Like, well, what do you think you should be eating? Well, I don't know. That's why I'm here asking you, right? Because they don't know what they should be eating. They don't know what the downsides of certain foods are. So you can educate them about things. So you can say, yeah, you give them choices. You can say, well, you know, I'm feeling like there's some food that you're sensitive to. Would you agree? Oh, yeah, there's definitely some foods that I'm sensitive to. Do you have a sense of what those foods are? Well, I think maybe this food or that food, but I'm not sure. There's other times that I've not eaten those foods and I've felt bad, so I'm sure it's something else. Oh, well, do you have a method for yourself to help yourself to figure that out? Well, no. Would you like one? Well, yeah, if you think it would help. Okay, then you could talk to them about food elimination and provocation and all that. And you could say, well, you know, gluten and dairy and sugar and soy, those are among the top things that bother people. Are you willing to give those up for a while? You know, as opposed to, I think you should give them up for a while. You ask them, are you willing to do that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to take some supplements? Because, you know, you're showing some signs based on these questionnaires you filled out that maybe some of your minerals are out of balance, like zinc and magnesium. Are you interested in knowing what foods are rich in those? And are you interested in finding out maybe some good sources of those if you'd like a supplement? Right? Ask them the questions. And then, so you don't wait for them to ask you for the advice. you ask them the leading questions that then they say, well, yeah, tell me more. And then you can tell them more. So I think that's a nice way to combine the two.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, that's a nice way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, because they don't know what they don't know, right? And they do get frustrated when you just start to say, well, what do you think you should do? Like, why am I here if you're not going to tell me what to do? So there's that fine line, but it's also you want to get concurrence from them, right? So if you just hand them a plan, you didn't get any buy-in on it. You can say, well, we could start with either this or that. Which feels more comfortable for you to start with?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can start by adding some of these greens to your diet, or we could start by taking out like the sugar and the flour. What feels most comfortable for you to start with?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? So make them a partner as opposed to you're the practitioner and they're the patient.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. A few ideas.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Rita Murray.
You're so welcome. And you know, it's really good training to have that because it gives you that really nice communication skills with people.
Yeah, I think it. I really loved it. I just felt like it was exactly what I wanted to be studying. But now I want to go deeper into the more, you know, the more hands-on stuff, like how to fix the body. So that's why I'm in the program.
Well, that's why you're in. So happy to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have questions, raise your hand. I'm going to put Adrian's hand down, and I'm going to look to see if we have any more questions typed in, any more on the chat. It looks like we have Elaine and Susan and Lynn and Claudia and Tanya, Rita, Eric. Oh, here's one. Can someone who is not licensed order Meridian Valley testing? They can if they're in our NEPT program because we have made an arrangement with Meridian where they can get an account under mine. So it's really me putting myself on the line and I'm making sure that people know what they're doing when they order them and they send me the copies of their results, but they can order them that way on their own, but only when they're in the program. Otherwise, Meridian and BioHealth and a couple of others, Genova, all require that you be a practitioner, a licensed healthcare practitioner. So that was Brenda's question too. Lynn, Brenda said, I'm having trouble accessing my link to get my Energy Recharge Foundation pillars. Oh, that's interesting. Lynn, take Brenda's name down and we'll log in as her to see what the problem is. And maybe she wasn't given the right tags, but she should have, you know, as long as she's in NEPT. Claudia says, will there be a recording? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see. Sonia, I want to do a group coaching for digestion. Yes. And what do you suggest is the best way to do it? Like how long to have the program and what to offer? You know, here's what I would recommend, Sonia, so you can tell what we do. If you go to happybellysystem.com, you can read exactly what we offer in our gut healing program. I usually recommend that it be, you know, at least 8 to 10 weeks, if not 3 months, because it takes a while to get through all that. And lots of great things you can do. I just definitely start with teaching in the basic hygiene of digestion, right? Calmness, chewing, you know, and then go down to stomach acid balance and enzymes and probiotics and then go into more of the advanced stuff. So, yeah, take a look at our program and you can see what we have. If you're in digestion, our CMDS program, then you will have exactly, you know, you have the exact access to do that. Sonia said, thanks, Lynn. Do you think $397 sounds a fair price? Yeah, absolutely. That's about what we do for ours. ours is, you know, we usually price ours at the lower end of what some people do. There are people who offer gut programs for $500 to $800 to even $1,000. All right. That was good. Good questions. And let me see if anybody else had questions. No. Anybody else have questions here? Lynn, could you check with Scott to find out the link to that? I think there was a link. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe you just have to contact us. If you're interested in the videos from Shine, if you didn't already, if you're in NEPT, you get them automatically, so no worries. And if you purchase them at Shine, you already have them. But if you still want to get them, before we close that down, I think we're closing it down as soon as the live stream goes away, which we just found out got extended till the 18th. So if you want the videos from the event, $97 gets you the videos. And then if you want the previous events, all four, it's $297 and you'll get the whole thing. But as soon as we take that down on the 18th, it's going to go away and it'll be $397 for just 1 year. So welcome to do that. Just reach out to us. You can actually write to helpdesk@dradamarie.com and say, hey, I was at Shine and I want to get copies of the videos. How can I do that? And then they'll take care of you. All right. Let's see. Any other questions? Any other comments? I know that we loved reading the reviews and what you liked and what you want more of. And what we heard was you want more breaks. And, you know, it's really funny because when we're figuring these things out in terms of the schedule, I always say, but I have this speaker and I have that comment and I want to get all this information in. And then we also were applying for CEU credits and they have certain requirements of how many hours. But we're going to be building in some more beautiful breaks, and we'd love some ideas, and maybe we'll send out a questionnaire as to how we can do that, because I think that it would be really great to have more in the way of breaks, to enjoy the land and to stay an extra day and to actually make it a retreat. So we'll see what. We loved having the event. We loved having it out at that location just because it was away from it all and just so beautiful and peaceful. And the food, they did such a great job on the food and the room and everything else. So I thank you for being here. You still have a couple more things that we're doing for you as Shine VIPs. There'll be another session where I'm going to invite some speakers. I've got a panel. I'm trying to get a panel together, so I have my team reaching out to see what we could coordinate of some of the speakers that we had at the event to go into some more depth than they could have at the event on some of the labs. So stay tuned for that. There's also on Wednesday, one of the speakers that we had invited to come and had to back out at the last minute or about a month before was Elena Love, and she was going to teach like how you can actually make some extra income doing food preparation classes and how to do them and how to charge for them and all that. She was going to do that at Shine, but she couldn't make it, so she offered to do it after. So on, I think it's this Wednesday, sometime in the afternoon, you should be getting some reminder emails about that. We'll invite you there, so join us. If you can't join us live, definitely it will be recorded. We record everything. I mean, unless there's a failure of the recording system, which every now and then has happened, and then we don't get a recording, but most of the time we get a good recording, and, you know, so you don't have to be here live, because we recognize that people's schedules and time zones and other commitments get in the way. Same thing in NEPT, where that's why we do a lot of calls throughout the month. We don't expect anybody to come to all of them, although we do have some people who come to all of them, and it's awesome. They're learning a tremendous amount, but, you know, we recognize that not everybody can make every call, so we do quite a number of them, and we allow you to pick and choose. The more involved you get, the more you learn, the more you hang out with people who are just a few steps ahead of you or many steps ahead of you, the more you're going to learn, and this stuff sinks in. It's totally amazing. I would say even just 5-10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, I have to look up everything when I'm doing reading labs. I'd have to look things up, which is fine because we can't keep everything in our heads. Then I started working with this and teaching it, and I don't have to look up much of anything anymore. You know, some of the more esoteric tests, I'm not sure what the ranges are, but it's just becoming second nature. And that will happen to you. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. And the same thing with your clients. When you teach them things, at first it's new and then it becomes old and then it becomes habit, and just really being patient with yourself and with your clients. So I just want to thank you for being on this mission with me. I would love to invite any of you that are not already signed up for NEPT to just pop in and join. Oh, looks like Susan from Denver has her hand up. Hi, Susan.
Oh, gosh. Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, actually, I don't really need to comment. However, I just wanted to say that I was one of those that asked for more breaks. However, in retrospect, I really loved, there was so much information, and I really appreciated it being so packed. Although at
Thank
the
you.
Time it felt like I wanted more breaks, but looking back, I really appreciate, I mean, I wanted it all, but I appreciate that you shared so much.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting. What you really want to say is, I wanted more breaks, but I didn't want to give up anything.
That's right. That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Exactly. I don't want to give up anything, but I want more breaks. So the only way to do that is to extended another half day. We were thinking maybe make it a 4-day event and then have like the first day be sessions in the morning, the complete afternoon off to go play, maybe another session in the evening, sessions all day Saturday, you know, or sun, you know, two, and then another day with half and then ending halfway on the last day. I mean, there's a lot of ways we could do it. But it would mean an extra day to get it all in, or it would mean cutting some content out, which most people don't. You know, we want the breaks, but we don't want to cut the content, right?
Right. I love that idea. I love that idea of extending the time.
Yeah. Because I know if we just said, oh, just stay an extra day and have your break on Sunday, nobody would. Or maybe even doing it Thursday, Friday, Saturday and having Sunday be like off and maybe just have yoga in the morning so people can get a nice start and then hang out. But most people would not do that. Most people would then leave on Saturday, right? Or like first thing Sunday morning. So it's like we have this, we're these weird human creatures who try to pack too much into a short period of time. But we'll figure it out. We're working on it. I just don't want to, like, I'm sitting here going, I want to get all this information across. How do I do this? Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let me see if there's anything else in the chat. Brenda says, all of the support and information is incredible, deep gratitude. You're very welcome. There's something else. I just saw it. Okay, so Sonia says, thank you. Gina says, what was the link you gave out earlier? I kept getting kicked out. Was it the link that was to, let me find that link. I'll put it up on the screen so you can see it. It was the link, well, there was NEPT Apply for those who are wanting to get into the program, but then there was this one related to genetics. Let me see if I can find it. Where was it? Genetics. Hello, genetics. Come on. There it is. It was the genetic testing. Is that the one? The Go Genetic Testing Cheat Sheets? Tony, looking forward to getting to know Sonia and all of you better. Yes, 4-day, Adrian says, yeah. Fortunately, we had elixirs to keep us going. Yes. Tony says, gotta love the elixir bar. I love having the elixir bar there. Isn't that better than the typical coffee and donuts that they serve at most of the conferences, even the health conferences? Yeah. Brenda says it's hard to get away for 4 days, pack it in. Yeah, I know, this is a big thing. I'm sure that's why I traveled there and back and felt all was intact on returning home. That's great. Oh, yeah, the elixirs. And last year we did an elixir demo, and the elixir demo was actually by Steph, a 7-year-old son, and it was awesome. I mean, I learned something from him. I learned that, man, little kids can take things really much more bitter than adults can, because he put all these herbs in, and then he put in 3 drops of stevia, and I'm like, I would have put two dropperfuls of stevia to get that down, and then he drank it and said it was delicious. Very, very great. So hopefully we'll get him back another year. The spring retreat, any idea where that may be? Yes, we know exactly where and when, Susan. The spring, you mean the NEPT spring retreat. No, we are still working on that. We're looking at possibilities are going back to the beach in St. Pete, Florida, or somewhere in that area. We're actually looking at maybe renting a few houses there and then bringing in a caterer for the food so we can just have a grand time on the beach and have, you know, great breakouts and great rooms and all that. So that's one, that's my top choice. If we can get it, we just haven't looked into yet the houses and how much they cost. I gave that to one of my team members. We stayed at a hotel last year on the beach, and the hotel was okay, but the beach was spectacular. 2 years before that, we did it at the Ancient Yoga Center here in Austin, which is on the property of a temple, an Indian temple, Hindu temple, and gorgeous grounds, and they have a big yoga center, so we did it there, and they do all the meals, so they did meals for us. And then what else were we looking at? Oh, yes, somebody was telling me out near where we were for Shine, there's a place called McKinney Falls State Park, and they have a retreat center that you can rent out, and it can hold about 60 people, so that should be large enough. And then there's cabins, and you can bring in your own food and caterers. So we're looking at that possibility, and anything else anybody has ideas for, let us know. Good. Lynn just put up the links, drreedamarie.com/go/shine-video-package-2016, and that will get you the videos. Adrian says, I was able to keep a habit of drinking lots of water since then. So glad. And Drina, what was the link for the testing genes information? I'm not sure which one you mean, Drina, but if you mean the cheat sheets, I also sent that for those of you in NEPT. I sent this link out in our newsletter on Sunday, but I also am sharing it here in the Shine group. It's really just the slides from that third day, but it's just in one PDF document. Drinking water is so undervalued. Good for you, Adrian. This is from Tony. Have you noticed a difference in digestion? And Gina says, what's the difference between Shine and Spring into Vitality? Yeah, Shine is for practitioners, so it's much more in-depth information and stuff how to take care of your clients. Spring into Vitality is how to take care of yourself. So it's a lot of stuff based on, you know, processes and programs for you. And it's an awesome program too. And anybody in NEPT gets a bonus ticket to that as well. And if you've been in any of our client programs like Before Be Gone or Grand or Adrenal Program Cafe or which else one? I think that's it. There seems like there's one. A thyroid program. You get a free ticket to that event. Drina, no, she mentioned something. So that was the cheat sheets. So it's basically a lot of different lists of one of them is the nutrients, the vitamin D, et cetera, the digestion. It's just all the SNPs that are related to that based on the slides I did on Sunday at Shine. And that's up on the screen right now. It's drreedamarie.com/go/genetic-testing-cheat-sheets. All right, let me look one more time to see if there's any more hands. And Claudia says, I'd love to know a bit more about the reishi mushroom powder. I tried to, the first time at the event was fantastic to try it. What is the appropriate starting dose? Yeah, go slow. It's usually a good idea and then increase later. Usually with something like reishi, I'll start with like a quarter of a teaspoon in an elixir and then maybe go to a half a teaspoon, three quarters of a teaspoon. I actually put a whole teaspoon in now, but oftentimes I will muscle test myself or do the pendulum testing that Dr. Phyllis was talking about. A lot of times I'll do that to figure it out how much I need of that. It's strong tasting too, so you might want to keep that into consideration. One of the things I do with my mushroom elixirs and some of my adaptogens is I actually use them and make desserts. So the other day I made like a chocolate filling for, I took the paleo wraps and I did a chocolate filling for it. And I put, I think it was coconut butter, almond butter, or coconut butter and cashew butter, one or the other. And I mixed it in with some lohan for sweetener, a little bit of cacao powder, and some reishi mushroom, a little bit of reishi, and a lot of cordyceps. And I mixed those together, and I made it, blended it up. It was really creamy. I think I added some water to make it a little creamier. And then I spread it in between and made little crepes. And those were delicious. So it's really a lot of great ways that you can do it. Sometimes I'll do it and put lots of coconut in there, and then I put them in little silicone molds, and I put them in the freezer and make little candies. And sometimes I leave out the chocolate. You don't need the chocolate if you like the chocolate, but chocolate flavor, but you don't like what the chocolate does, like it's too strong for you, caffeinated, gives you a headache. You can use the medicine flower little droppers, or you can use the chocolate stevia, and then you can make these little candies. I love making adaptogenic candies. The very first time I ever made adaptogenic candies, I was experimenting, and I'd been learning about how in Ayurveda they would take ashwagandha and mix it with honey and milk and take that at bedtime. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to do honey or milk, so what can I do instead? So I took the ashwagandha and I mixed it with coconut butter. And then I thought, well, let me make it sweet. I added licorice. Well, licorice and ashwagandha go great together if you have adrenal fatigue. And so I mixed that together and then added a little green powder, and I stirred it all and then added mint. And I tasted it. I said, oh, this tastes pretty good. I put it in the molds and put it in the freezer. And so a little bit after that, a friend of mine who was from out of town had come to visit, and we were chatting, and I said, let's go for a hike. And she goes, I'm kind of tired from traveling. I'm not sure. I said, oh. She goes, what was that you were just making? And I told her, and I said, here, try one of my adaptogenic candies. So she tried one, and a little bit later she goes, well, you know what? I'm not so tired anymore. Let's go for that hike. Another friend had come over in the meantime, and I said, you want to try one of these? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, I said, we're thinking about going for a hike. You want to join us? She goes, nah, I don't think so. I'm, you know, kind of tired. I'll just go home. She lives in the neighborhood. She had one of the adaptogenic candies, and then she says, you know what? Let's go on that hike. I feel good. So it just had some really good adrenal support herbs. So when you do that and you have these little candies, that didn't have any chocolate in it. It was just these green minty things that were full of adaptogens and coconut. And it was phenomenal. So you find those herbs that work for you or for your client, and then you teach them fun ways to put it together, whether it be, I love my cordyceps hot cocoa, which doesn't have any cocoa in it usually. I love to make the different puddings. I love to make the little candies. And it makes it fun for people to take their elixirs. At our Shine last year, if you get the videos, Karen Osborne did a demo of how she had helped her daughter, who had these horrific menstrual problems and pain all through her life, and she was suffering with her adrenals and energy and all, and so she decided she was going to try some of these elixirs with her daughter, and it worked. Her daughter was getting better, but the daughter got tired of drinking these elixirs all the time, so Karen decided to make the elixirs in other ways. So she'd make this powder, and she made little muffins from them. She made little candies from them. She made all kinds of things from them. So there's all kinds of things you can do with the elixir ingredients. Thank you. That's a great question. Okay. That, and let me see if any hands are up. I don't see any more hands up, and I'll go back to chat. And thank you, Gina, for posting the genetic testing cheat sheets. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. I'm going to open the lines for anybody that's listening online, and we will just get to say goodbye to each other. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. Bye-bye now, everyone.
Bye.
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 Take care.